As you see, we have no financial disclosures. We both decided we have very boring lives. But I did want to disclose that before we started out on this adventure that we're going to describe to you, we both had black hair. What we are going to tell you about is our exercise to create the first joint county health department in Pennsylvania. And the experience that we had there not only informs, I think, what needs to be done to create a health department, but also how to sustain a health department, more importantly. And I'd also like to change the name of the session, if I might. The current name is Impact of the Recession on Public Health Agencies. I'd like to add the Impact of the Recession in Politics on Public Health Agencies. Politics is an eight-letter word. That in public health we kind of look at as a four-letter word and don't want to get much involved with, and the previous presentation you heard a lot about what health directors have to do to be in bed with the politicians in order to get funding, really. So politics is a very important aspect of public health, especially now, in one that I think has been neglected over time. I briefly just want to give you an understanding of the infrastructure of public health in Pennsylvania anyway, which is very poor. I think it must be among the poorest in public health infrastructures in the country, really. There's 67 counties. There's only six county health departments and four municipal health departments. As you will see in the next slide, two of those municipal health departments are within the counties that we were trying to start the Joint County Health Department with, Northampton and Lehigh County. The rest of the state mainly is covered by the State Health Department, which, as you'll see here, this is the State Health Department regional offices. The little yellow dots are health centers in which there may be one nurse and a clerk, some just a clerk, some just a half-time nurse. So the services they provide are very limited, mainly STD, immunization, TB, disease investigation, that sort of thing. The gray areas are the county or municipal health departments, and you'll see to your left the little rectangular gray areas of Bethlehem and Allentown. Allentown Health Department is in the Lehigh Valley, and Northampton Health Bethlehem Health Department is in the Northampton. I think in the last enumeration in 2000, Pennsylvania had somewhere around 36 public health workers per 100,000 population, where the average in the country was around 120. So it has a tradition of being poor. I've been in public health in Pennsylvania, as you heard, for over 40 years, and starting at the beginning of my career, it was not great, and the budgets were flatlined basically for most of that time. So it didn't really have a strong tradition of public health, and as everyone is suffering now, it's suffering even to a greater extent. So I'd like to turn the presentation over to Eileen, who is now the former chair of the Lehigh Valley Board of Health, and she'll tell you all about that.
Thanks, Jerry. It's a pleasure to be here. I wish I were here with better news about what happened with our bi-county effort. This was an effort that has really been in the making for over 20 years. For 20 years, those of us in public health have been advocating the need for a county health department, or ideally a bi-county, which is what we tried to do. Finally, just to give you a very brief timeline of the past 6 years, primarily. In December of 2006, Lehigh and Northampton County commissioners separately passed ordinances calling for the creation and the establishment of this bi-county health effort. So it was about almost 6 years ago that it actually, we thought, was coming to fruition. It then took a year and a half for the two sets of county commissioners, nine commissioners in each county, to agree on a board of health, because both counties had to agree to everyone. And what was typically a 5-member Board of Health became a 9-member Board of Health because the hospitals in our area wanted seats at the table, and that was part of the bargaining that was going on. But a year and a half later, it began in January 2007. By the summer of 2008, the Board of Health was in place. There were 9 of us, and we had the 2 directors from the Allentown and Bethlehem City Health Departments, which we expected would fold into our health department as ex officio members. And I would not be standing here today if it were not for the other 10 people that I worked with. They were just absolutely invaluable. The Health Commission, which was composed of the 18 commissioners from Lehigh and Northampton County, charged this volunteer Board of Health with creating the infrastructure for the health department. And keep in mind that we were all employed full-time while attempting to do this on a volunteer, what became for some of us a second full-time basis. But in January of 2009 was the first meeting of the Health Commission and then the Board of Health. The Health Commission is required to meet annually by law in Pennsylvania. And at that time, the Board of Health began to work. And so what you see here is one of the first things we did was decided that we needed a consultant to assist us. Although most of us on the Board of Health had a strong public health background, we really needed someone to assist us in doing this. We had 2 local health foundations, the Leonard Poole Trust and the Two Rivers Health and Wellness Foundation, one in Lehigh County, one in Northampton County, which had committed $500,000 to this effort to get it up and going, which was phenomenal. And so we were able to use that money to hire Jerry from the University of Pittsburgh as our consultant to help us.
He did not get the $500,000.
No, he didn't. He only got part of it, or Pitt got part of it, I should say. But it was through the efforts of these 2 foundations, which we really appreciated, that we were able to hire this consultant to help us do it, because I don't know that we could have pulled the plans, the budget, the program plans, et cetera, together without that. So that was the first thing we did. We came up with a plan, which we presented in July of 2010. It took us a while to get it together because you're dealing with getting together a realistic budget. You're dealing with getting together a program plan for services and staffing that would meet the needs of about 775,000 people. That was the population of the 2 counties. Most of the counties outside of Allentown and Bethlehem had never had health departments, didn't even have health officers, had nothing except the state health department to rely on. And then you had your sewage enforcement officers, and there was one for every municipality in each county that we had to deal with. Allentown was a union shop. Bethlehem was not, so we had to think about how were we going to combine union and non-union. There were different job descriptions, different job titles. This was just a monumental undertaking. We were so naive when we started it. We had no idea. But in July of 2010, we presented our first plan. At that point, the recession had hit, and the commissioners, we were asking the counties to contribute, each county, $500,000 a year to this effort. And for that $1 million a year, we had anticipated that we would be able to leverage $9 million in state matching funds, in grants, some of which were already existing with the city health departments, which we would fold into our health department. United Way and the 2 health foundations had agreed to contribute monies to our effort for the first 5 years. We felt fairly confident that this was a reasonable budget, and our program and our staffing were reasonable and realistic. This was not a Cadillac plan. This was a Ford or a Chevy, and I'm not putting down Ford or Chevy. They're reliable, they're solid, they get the job done. There were not a lot of bells and whistles, but it would meet the statutory requirements of Pennsylvania, and it would work. Well, the Board of Health, because of the recession, did not want to approve the budget. They did not want to give us $500,000 each, a drop in the bucket for their county budgets. But they did not want to disband us, so they asked us to go back and re-review what we were doing. So we did. We came up with another plan. In October of 11, we presented our second revised plan to them. Clearly, we took our time and really deliberately did it and tried to do a lot, you know, really looked at what we had done and where we could make changes, etc. Well, October 11 was right before the November 2011 elections, and there were going to be some changes in both counties on the part of the commissioners. Some people had moved away, some were opting not to run. So the Health Commission at that time opted again to table our proposal because they did not want to vote it up or down and have a new set of county commissioners either saddled with what they had agreed to or having to start over again. In November of 2011, and that's not on here, but I think it's important to note, in Lehigh County, a Tea Party slate ran and won. And they ran on the slate of basically dismantling county government. Okay? So they were now in control of Lehigh County government, and that was November of 2011. In January of 2012, the Health Commission had its annual meeting, and we went to it, we spoke at it, and we said to them, we need a decision. We cannot remain in limbo any longer. We need a decision by July. Either you're going to vote to allow us to move forward and open our health department, hire a director, you know, get the staff online, or it's over and we're done. You know, we cannot continue as we are. Well, finally in August, the commissioners met, and they voted it down. Okay, so in August of 2012, the Lehigh County Commissioners then met and voted to withdraw the ordinance which had created this bi-county effort, and then Northampton County followed suit a month later because Lehigh County was really the driving force being against it. Northampton County was, we had the majority votes to do this, to activate. But Northampton County voted in September to withdraw from the effort because Lehigh County had already withdrawn, and so there was no point in continuing and moving forward. So what happened and why? You know, if we think of public health as being a combination of science and politics, I think in this case, the politics was paramount to what we were trying to do. It trumped the science. What happened was a convergence of an antiquated state public health law. Our public health law is almost 60 years old, I think, and has had very minor modifications and updates. So it's really out of date and does not meet the needs of today's modern public health needs and agencies. It was poor timing. The recession hit, the Tea Party hit. Tea Party was the political aspect of it, you know, and they have done enormous damage in Lehigh County to date, not just with public health, unfortunately. Funding, it was also a convergence of funding. The recession hit, and along with that, the State Department of Health was decreasing the funding of the matching funds that was being provided to the local health departments, local and county health departments. So this was sort of like the perfect storm all coming together, unfortunately. We did have elected official champions. We had one person in Lehigh County who was a moderate, a Republican, but a moderate, who still thinks we should go back and do a referendum and, you know, start this process all over again. We had a champion in Northampton County who has since retired and moved out of the area. So we lost, you know, someone who, and these were both county commissioners. So we lost people who were advocating for us with other commissioners. The majority of elected officials, the mayors of the two cities were in favor of it. The county executives were in favor of this county health department. The commissioners were terribly split. And then the timing. The timing was just, you know, because of all the issues that I identified before, was not right. So when we think of key components of a health department, key community leaders were on our Board of Health. Those of us on the Board of Health represented constituencies, were well known in our community for the various fields that we had expertise in. We had the support of the community. Muhlenberg College has a public opinion institute that conducts periodic surveys in our community. 66% of a random sample of people supported the establishment of the Bi-County Health Department. And that was highly publicized when it was done. We had the support of the business community. The I'm blanking on the name of it, but there's a group of business executives made up of the CEOs of the major industries in the Lehigh Valley who came out strongly in support of the Bi-County Health Department and lobbied the commissioners on our behalf. Again, unfortunately, to no avail. We had the support of the healthcare community. The foundations that I mentioned were planning on continuing to support us financially for the first 5 years to help us get up and running. United Way had committed $1 million, $250,000 a year for 5 years to help us get this off the ground. The other governmental agencies were supportive. The healthcare community was supportive. The hospitals, you know, who have community health divisions, thought this was a good idea. I'm going to let Jerry finish the rest of the presentation, and then we'll be glad to answer any questions. It was an incredible learning experience. We were so naive. That's my message.
Thanks, Eileen. The other critical needs certainly was or is the active support of the state health department when you're trying to do something. Because of the timing issue, the state health department had promised to do one thing 2 years earlier and decided 2 years later that they weren't going to support that sort of activity because of the recession. Budget things hit and they didn't have the flexibility that they had 2 years earlier. The other thing, and I think we still don't do this in public health well, but it brought it to my attention, we don't know how to tell people the benefit of having the health department. What's the value added of having a local health department? What were the politicians going to get for the $500,000 each or a $10 million government unit? What exactly were they going to get that they didn't have with the state health department and the municipal health officers that you had? I don't think we did as good a job in doing that. I don't think in general we do a good job in public health. The Eileen mentioned the state law was 60 years old. You know, that's all right unless you start trying to do something like that, and then it comes up and bites you in the behind because you then are stuck with trying to develop a 21st century health department with a 19th century public health law, and it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense to try to do public health with that sort of law anyway, but we kind of make it through. But trying to do what we were trying to do made it almost impossible. It would have been good if we had some sort of disease outbreak at the time. That always helps.
Not in the cities, but in
right.
the counties where
right.
there's no health department.
Now, but unfortunately, because of the positive nature of health departments, even when you have some sort of large outbreak in an area without a health department, when you have a local health department there someplace, they say, we'll take care of them. Those people will be covered even though they're not in our area. But it would have been, several of the county health departments in Pennsylvania were started because of rabies or Lyme disease issues. You know, so it's good to have an issue. And we really didn't have one in this case. But I think it comes down to my mind of the politics and the timing. It's if you need to get this done, if you have a political champion, and they did, you need to get it done in the legislative period so they're not voted off and you're dealing with a completely new group. Every 4 years, it's a new ball game. It goes back to zero and you start over again. So that's the timing also with the recession and the conservative nature of the the area both came together to, as Eileen said, a perfect storm. But it brings me to my position after working with a number of health departments in different states and in Pennsylvania. Now is a time for a paradigm shift in public health. We can't continue to do the same thing in the same way that we did for the last 100 years, basically. When I was with the Allegheny County Health Department and the positions I had, I'd keep getting program plans from staff. And even though our budget had been flatlined for a decade, basically, I got the same program plan. We were going to be able to do all the same work. You know, someplace in the middle between page 100 and 150 was a miracle will happen. And, you know, we'll be able to do this. It never did. And obviously, we were making excuses then why we didn't commit all the, be able to reach all the objectives. So we need a real paradigm shift. And I outline here some of the things that I think are part of that shift. And one is we need to develop the public health system, make it a real thing, a real system. You all know that that egg diagram or the jelly bean diagram, however you want to see it, that we use frequently with those lines connecting everything, which is all a facade. This, in most places, it doesn't really exist as a system. It's just a lot of entities doing public health, but not really tied together, trying to reach specific objectives. So I think developing partnerships, collaborations, and really a lot of these two things weren't connected in my mind, but are connected in reality. The accreditation activities are pushing us towards this as well. A lot of, obviously, you need to get accredited. You're going to need a lot of collaborations, a lot of partnerships. It's required in the measures of the standards. So, but creating a public health system that works together is important. And looking at what does public health do that no one else does. I work with the Erie County Health Department. We started doing a quality improvement initiative with them in their STD clinic. They wanted to be able to see all the patients who showed up every day. And then about a month later, they found out from the state health department that not only had their budget been cut for the future, but it actually had been cut the year before, but they weren't told until the next fiscal year. So they were down a great deal. They had to lay off 5 staff. Several of them, because they had vacancies, were nurses in the STD clinic. So they decided that really what they needed to do is contact investigations, because they were seeing 80% of the STD cases were identified by private providers or hospital providers, you know, clinicians. They were only seeing 20% of the patients, but no one else could do contact investigations. So they're now currently working their way out of clinical services for STD and just doing contact, because that's the value they could add to that issue. We have to look at each program and not be in competition with others, but add value to it. Doing community health assessments, community health improvement plan, strategic plan, you see those are the prerequisites for accreditation, but I don't know how we got along without them to begin with. If you don't know where you're going, you don't know how to get there. You know, it's a pretty inefficient system. So whether you're going for accreditation or not, I think we need to do those three things. I think minimally, you know, public health agencies need to do surveillance. No one else can do that. They need to do disease investigation, including contact investigations. No one else in a community has the authority or responsibility to do that. Environmental public health has to be a governmental activity because there's regulation. Some immunization requirements need to be governmental because they're regulations that need to be enforced. Agencies have to spend a lot of time developing and coordinating the public health system. If there are services that are needed because of the assessment, grants are going to have to be found that budget neutral. The environmental health programs are going to have to be budget neutral. I know they don't like to raise services, but you can't pay for a program with 1970 fees that it's now 2012. Those have to be budget neutral also. A lot that needs to be done through the community assessment improvement plan is through public-private partnerships. I want to add to this list because I noticed when I was reviewing this that I had missed it. Assuring access to health care is also another key thing. That, though, may be done through public-private partnerships, depending on the community. So I think these are the key things that public health agencies need to be doing and not trying to meet every need that is out there. We can't do it well. It's not fair to the residents. It's not fair to the staff, who are always frustrated because they're always yanked in so many different ways. That may sound a little preachy, but I'm sorry, but I think that's what needs to be done. Thank you.
Well, thank you to Gerald and Eileen for providing that great presentation of really showing us the impact and the influence of politics on public health, and also better ways to really show the value of public health, and especially during a recession, to show why it's important, why it's needed in different ways. I want to invite all the presenters back up to the table, and we're going to now open it up for any questions.
I'd like to comment on that just briefly before I pass it down. It's a crapshoot sometimes, because I know in Pennsylvania, because we've talked about it, opening up the public health statutes now may not be the best time because of the politics that's currently there. So sometimes you have to live with what you have until the timing is right. But I think when it can be done, it needs to be done, because it's going to bite you in the behind when you start wanting to do something. In Pennsylvania, still talks to, you need to have public health, you need to have public nursing services, you need to have five key things, laboratories, community group disease investigations, where I think each county health department, or each health department has to decide through their community health assessment what do they need, and not be stuck with this specific sort of programming that over time changes, the requirements change.
Okay. I was actually going to ask you that exact question, but I'm not sure that I can answer it. I think that the challenge that was interesting to us was that tension between both the local and the state, and that it's a fertility question at both levels. And there are some important institutions within the state of Connecticut, and particularly we have an association of directors of health that can take the lead at the state level, but there still remains that local level where we're actually getting more, they're writing multiple directors reported new regulations around regulating beauty parlors and tattoo parlors and all of these additional still inspection service fees, that the regulations aren't going at the local level the way we need them to, and I'm not sure they're going to. But I do agree that question of how we create the vision of the regulations we'd like that would actually support a broader level of public health might be a start.
Okay, great. Thank you. Next question.
You showed your organizational chart. I noticed that there was a formal evaluation of the grant and the program. Then you also mentioned sort of the process and the need, some of the challenges you faced. What were the self-correcting mechanisms? So, not evaluating your outcomes, right? Sort of evaluating the processes you went along, and any specific examples that you think highlighted your ability either to improve communication or feedback or change, adjust your plans, even if you had a short time frame.
I'll have to think quickly on that one, because some of them happened so fast onto themselves. I would say even the fact that we ended up with an incident command system was a self-correction. I'm hearing stories anecdotally from some of the other CTG and CPPW initiatives that they're struggling with this very same issue, yet don't have a structure. So I would even just say having one is one of those solutions. I don't want to reference the exact example just because of folks in the room, but if we had a major decision that needed to be made or something wasn't going well, just having the space to actually make that decision or to make the correction, which isn't quite what you're asking, but if this situation, we needed to, it was going one way, we needed to go another, we knew what structure to go through. I have to think about other self-corrections that there were a bunch of them. Let me just think about it for a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Anybody else have any other questions? Yeah.
First, thanks to all the panelists. I worked in governmental health for many years, and I really can identify with a lot of what you're presenting. I think that one of the biggest issues that will be forever with us in governmental public health is that we are part of the political system. It's very inherently political work. And how do you do that in an ethical way with integrity? Thinking about some of the comments about the new paradigm, which actually is not so new, as we all know. We know we should be doing community health assessments and strategic planning. We should be looking at better partnerships and so on. This language has been swirling around us for 20 years, and some of us have tried to do that in practice. But I think that one of the areas that we really need to look at is how do some public health leaders in those positions actually manage to prevail? And I think those case examples would be very inspirational, because there are people who are doing it, and that's not to be discouraging or disparaging for those who haven't been able to, because there are lots of reasons why we don't, but I really think it's important, because we'll continue to work in this environment at the local and state level, that we have case studies and ways we can inspire people at the local level to take the lead to try to do these things, because there are
You're absolutely correct. And the Board of Health, spent a lot of time working or trying to educate the county commissioners about public health, what it is, what it does. I always say, when we're doing our job, people forget about us.
Mm-hmm.
And so they don't think they need us until there's a major outbreak. And in fact, I was smiling because I wanted to comment on one success story. We had one county commissioner from Northampton County who was totally opposed to what we wanted to do. He didn't believe in government, didn't believe in taxes, etc. And after our second health commission presentation with our revised budget and program plans, he came up to me after the meeting and said, I think I finally get what you're doing. So I looked at him and I said, good, are you changing your vote? And he said, if it comes to a vote, I might. Whereas, now I don't know if he was just humoring me, he was the kind of guy who was a straight shooter. And so I tend to think, at least we got him to think about what is public health and why is it so important. So yeah, how do you prevail? You just keep at it.
Gentleman in the back, you had a question.
Dr. Walter, you're integrating the new program, but just internally, but the other health department programs, like WIC. Did you face any specific challenges? Some of the programs, I can use that a lot.
I'm smiling, and my colleague Valerie Webb, who is right now at the Cook County Department of Public Health, very shortly after we got this grant, we did start on a formal strategic plan for the entire agency, which called for the integration of some of those same principles across the health department. So it was the first time really in decades ever possibly that WIC, nursing, seed communicable diseases, environmental health, shocker, we need to collaborate within the health department. And it has taken, Valerie presented yesterday on that very question, how have we over the course of the last year and a half or so executed the strategic plan and some of the challenges we face. And no surprise, many of those same strategic management principles apply in terms of training, communication, role and responsibilities, and educating folks on their different roles and how they all contribute. So. I would say the same principles applied, and it wasn't easy. Although we are hearing reports of high satisfaction, that for the first time they're really not that they weren't excited before, but they have high levels of satisfaction of the process to get to know their colleagues. So I was just going to quickly say this is an obvious answer, but I now have seen the distinction of watching some of my neighboring health departments shift over. Your question about who's prevailing, and I'm not sure what you meant by prevail, but last and be successful. I assume
what I meant by that is if you're trying to affect change and want more recognition of public health, whatever you want, whether it's validation of services, of how do you in that regard?
The just quickly, what I would say is obvious, but now that I've seen some of these changeovers occur in the last 5 years or so. Those that have the relationships, real relationships with the politicians and the elected officials and whatnot, were the ones that seemed to be more successful. And not necessarily in a bad way. I mean, just had an honest, took the time and effort to talk with them on a regular basis, much like we would our partners in the community.
And also that those elected officials are influenced by the community members.
Yeah.
And you have to have really strong relationships.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a real skill, and people tend to think it's the soft stuff instead of actually what makes half of what we can work.
Mm-hmm. Great, thank you.
I had a question for the entire panel, and it's really focused around the champion idea. So, sort of how do you convince people that aren't of the public health mindset the importance of the prevention, the importance of why they should fund these things, and what's the conversation that you use? Politicians,
especially,
I don't think that they're very
intuitive
with science behind it or care. So, what would be our advice on that?
We did that. Part of what we were presenting to the county commissioners was We identified for X number of dollars of public health services, you will save so many millions of dollars in health insurance, morbidity, mortality. We contracted with another local university, a department there, to look at that for us. So we looked at, you know, smoking programs, communicable diseases, chronic diseases. There were a number of different health problems that we asked them to look at and to actually quantify what would be the cost savings with this health department in existence. And the ratios were mind-boggling. That's one way of doing it, you know, just trying to prevent the data. And we presented it from a cost point of view. We thought that might get to them. It didn't.
Well, but relatedly, if and usually money speaks the best, but the telling, you know, like let's take epidemiological data. Often we just spout the data. That means nothing to the common person. So the Soldier Field maybe wasn't the best picture image to use in my presentation, but you get the idea that if you can make an analogy that could be that's a real person analogy, then people start to pay attention. And we're not very good at it. We're still not good about it. So that's just a related point, but I think it's a different angle.
I want to say that I had asked Elaine O'Keefe to sit up here with me because she's part of our practice-based research network, and so she really wants to answer that question. Isn't that what you were raising your hand about, Elaine?
I'm so sorry.
Elaine has a wealth of expertise in the state of Connecticut on those kinds of issues. And so she's actually who I would defer to.
The question was how we
make the case. Right. How do you convince someone that might not be interested in the numbers and convince them the benefit of prevention?
Well, I still think stories about that is a lot.
It's getting better. Also, if you look out the window here, you see huge banners which say,
which are great.
You know, which is a great way of doing it. You know, why should you live longer in a different zip code than other places? So, but also, I want to emphasize the point, you need to present to the elected officials the issues in their district, not in the whole county, if it's a county health department, but in their district, where their electorate, people who elect them, come from. Yeah, we should develop maps. We tend to develop maps that are all county-wide, but we should legislate maps as well. Also, I think it helps to know the politician. They may have a hook. You know, they may have had a foodborne illness. They may have, you know, come in contact with the public health system, and it's good to relate to them based on that. So it's good to do a little background and get to know the person and their issues.
So we have time for one last question.
Being a health commissioner is not about public health, it's about politics. It's about having dinner, doing some of the nasty stuff that I have to do to drive policy. Nobody going to offense, nobody going defense. I didn't learn these terms in a public health program. I have to get in with some of the biggest dinosaurs in Chicago politics. Not only to personally survive, also kind of move agenda along. But it also is as a community of health directors, we must have trust. Illinois is top-down type state. So we need to move the legislators. I need to have trust with my downstate colleagues that if I needed a vote, that they also I could work with issues that was important to them and vice versa. And we would know touch them. So I knew I could call on my colleagues down in Effingham County. Because I knew big things didn't relate to the territory, but that senator who had a funeral problem, we just worked together and worked so we got it through. And so it's the nasty stuff that unfortunately that is the true part of the job.
But you mentioned a word which we haven't talked about, which I think is key, and that's trust. You have to build that trust. Mm-hmm. That's the foundation, otherwise, you know, it doesn't work.
I had to step aside and I realized.
So I want to thank again our presenters for their excellent presentations, and it was a great Q&A discussion as well. So we welcome you to come up and speak to the presenters individually if you have some other topics that you want to address as well. We also have some information in the back with regard to our community health planning and policy development section, and encourage you to visit our booth in the exhibit hall because we do have free pedometers. You can get out and walk around a bit and enjoy the beautiful San Francisco. So thank you again for attending, and thank you again to our presenters.